In the book of Ephesians, I felt like I was in a gold mine. How many would like to find yourself one day in a gold mine? And you just keep on getting the gold out and bringing more gold out and more gold out. And pretty soon you think, wow, I could just camp out here. And I think that's the way I feel about the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And the richness of the Lord and the blessing of God. Everybody say, blessings from heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm also going to start off this morning, though, if you put your finger in that part of your Bible, we're going to go to Romans chapter 3. And okay, hold on just a second. Connects us with Christ. Everybody say, my connection to the Lord is by faith. So when faith is exercised on your part, it creates a divine connection with heaven. And that's how God conveys everything that's there to here. You know, we pray, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. Talking about this earth. Sometimes we think about the earth, but the Lord's talking about this earth. You're the earth that he wants to manifest into. You're the flesh and blood that God wants to reveal his glory in. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And so faith connects us with God. Faith creates that bridge that transforms us into the image of who he is. So what's the purpose of the church? And I might jump around for a moment or two here, and hopefully I'll land on both feet when I do. But the purpose of the church is to reveal the identity of the Father to the earth. And the identity of the Father that's revealed to the earth is revealed through his Son, Jesus Christ. And then our part in that is that our faith in Jesus Christ connects us with the Father. If a man believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, confess with his mouth, then he will be saved. When we say saved, we can talk about transformed. He'll be brought into a new image. And we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 1 in just a moment, but I want to start out in Romans chapter 3, because I want to touch on this thing of faith just for a moment. And we know that Abraham believed God. How many know that Abraham believed God? Yeah. And so the thing that's beautiful about the story of Abraham is that for the people that want to try to go back and keep trying to be religious or be under the law, we remind them that faith started before the law. Had nothing to do with the law whatsoever. The law came after faith, because Abraham was a long time before the law. And it said he believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. How are we justified? By faith. Are you justified by faith? What does it mean to be justified? To be justified means actually to be set right, to come into a place of righteousness. To be justified means that God will look upon you now, not because you're righteous, but because you've identified with the righteous one. He looks upon you as righteous, and he counts you as righteous. Everybody say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when God looks at you, what does he see in you if you have faith? He sees Christ. He doesn't see you. Because if he saw you, he wouldn't be happy with what he saw. But if he sees Christ, he's very pleased. Because Christ was obedient in everything that he did. Christ was perfectly without sin in his earthly walk. So when the Father views Christ, he sees a perfect Son. When he views you outside of Christ, does he see that? No. But when he views you in Christ, he sees you as perfect. How many have ever thought about being perfect? It's a challenge, isn't it? Some of you have thought you're perfect, but someone else reminded you that you weren't. But guess what? In Christ, you are perfect. Everybody say, in Christ, I'm perfect. So how do I find myself in Christ? How do all of a sudden I transform out of this place of unperfection, of sinfulness, of failure, of inadequacy? How am I transformed out of that place into something different? It's through faith. I'm justified, I'm set right by faith. Martin Luther, who was the leader of the Reformation many hundreds of years ago, put a statement on the wall, and it said, "The just shall live by faith." It transformed the Christian church, didn't it? That all of a sudden now the people could have faith. And when faith came to the people began to change. You're changed by faith, aren't you? It's by faith that everything happens. The worlds were even framed by faith. So faith sets the stage for your righteousness. And I don't know, man, this morning I want to blow a gasket because I'm so filled up with the excitement of this message, of how that in every place God has blessed me with heavenly blessings in Christ. And when I'm in Christ, everything is unlimited before me. There's no limitation. And that's what Abraham had. You know, and I just read you a few scriptures this morning. In verse 16 of chapter 4, it says, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, that the promise may be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." And, you know, Abraham's belief gave him righteousness. It gave him a place of favor before God. You know, and one thing about faith is so cool, is that faith always builds upon itself. And this might encourage some of you this morning, because some people try to keep going back and they try to battle battles that have already been won. I remember in my Christian walk going through a lot of challenges. And because I went through challenges, I took my family through the same challenges. Sometimes I wonder if Sue says, "I didn't really sign up for this." But when I set out to walk in faith, to become a man of faith, I didn't realize the process of faith. And that the process of faith was oftentimes difficult. But the process of faith was very rewarding. And what I've learned is this: to become mature, to become like Abraham in faith, I've got to let every time faith is exercised be my tutor or my teacher to take me to the next level, and not go back again to the areas that have been conquered and try to reconquer them, because I've already accomplished that. So what takes you out of a place of struggle, futility, whether it could be in finances or it could be in emotional struggles, it could be in how you perceive life and how you go through life, what takes you out of that place of where it's all kind of topsy-turvy to all of a sudden one day you wind up strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? How do you get to that place? It's through faith. But every time you overcome, you don't have to go back and overcome the same thing over again, unless you forget that faith always works. Amen. How many would like to get out of some of the battles or some of the emotional things you've been going through and never have to visit there again? All of a sudden, you just are. You've just become that thing that God called you to be. I remember when we first began to pursue the Lord here in Austin, and the story, many of you have heard it, and I won't go into the elaborate detail of it this morning, but we had a little church out on Highway 290 West back in 1984, and 1984, the last part of 84, the first part of 85, and we were broke. And I was doing what I could, cleaning upholstery and a few things like that to try to make ends meet. There was not hardly any money coming in from the church. And we were living in a mobile home, which nothing wrong with that, by the way, if you're living in one of those today. Except when a tornado comes through, then get out. We're living in the mobile home, and the lady came to us and said, "You're going to have to move out of the mobile home because I want to move back in it." And so we said, "Fine, but where are we going to go?" She said, "I don't know. I don't care because I've got to move back in." So we didn't have enough money to put a down payment or a first month and last month lease on a house. We basically were totally broke. We had enough money every month just to pay the rent, pay the utilities. No money if we had to move. And so I went to the people in the church and the men, a few men that were there, and I said, "Hey, man, we got a challenge." I said, "Would you guys really stand with me in prayer?" What I really meant to them was, "Would you give me an offering so that we could move into another place?" And no one opened their mouth. They all kept silent. It was like silence in heaven. And needless to say, I was a little discouraged. But one guy came up and said, "Well, you can move into my mother-in-law's and father-in-law's house out on Lake Travis." I said, "Well, that'd be great. Man, I can't believe we're going to get to live on the lake." Well, I didn't realize that it was a second home. That big home was up on the hill. This house was down below the floodplain. And every time the Lake Travis would rise up, back when it used to do that, some of you remember that, the house would get underwater. And so it had no indoor plumbing. It had no air conditioning. It was basically a concrete shack, but it was by the water. And it was a miserable summer. It was one of the hottest summers on record. No air conditioning. But I remember at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, it'd still be 92 or 3 degrees in the house. And David and Jennifer were teenagers, and that didn't help things. Scorpions everywhere. I had an old beat-up Ford that was ended up burning up on the highway. I'm driving it down Interstate 35, and smoke came out from underneath the hood. I pulled over to the side of the road and opened the hood, and flames were coming up. I just walked off and left it there. It was a Ford LTD, too, also. It was really a fancy car. And so one night I came to the end of my wits, and I said, "Man, we were all fighting and sweaty and hot, and I went outside, and I was just like, 'God, you know, this is pitiful.'" And I was upset, and I know you wouldn't have been, but I was, and that's the night that I stood there and looked up at the stars and began to sing, "How great thou art," and just began to weep. And at that moment, I released that burden, that weight that I was carrying. I really trusted. I believed God. I felt like Abraham. I believed God. Even though here I am, I'm Abraham. I have nothing. I have, you know, but yet I reached up in faith and believed. And when God spoke back to Abraham, he said, "I'm going to make you a father of many nations." And I felt like an Abraham that night. I heard a lot of promises from God, but God didn't change that night. I did. I changed. My heart changed. And it was just a matter of a few days that a man joined our church that never did actually join our church. He just started coming. He happened to have a lot of money. And back then in 84, he began to give like $300 a week, which was a lot of money then. To some of you, that's a lot of money today. But it wasn't a matter of just a few weeks till that extra money changed our life, because we were able then to, accompanied by what I was making, we're able to get a house, to move into a house, lease a house, which was far better than the mobile home that we had before. But I was thinking about that last night, that when faith happened on that fateful night, I don't have to go back and do that again. Amen? Amen? Because something built in my spirit from that moment forward. And there's been a series of incidents like that since then that's kept increasing my faith to where now I feel strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, I'm not tempting God by saying that. I'm not trying to say, okay, God, bring it on and let me be tested. Because I really don't believe that I've got to go through the things that I used to go through. Because I've won that victory. How many know what I'm talking about? See, there's a glory to glory and from image to image. There's something God is putting in you that cannot be taken away from you. What God puts in your spirit, what you grasp by faith, that's yours to hold on to. And so when things come against you now, don't revert back to some emotional response or some place of fear. Just remember how God has been faithful. Aren't you glad He's faithful? And this is what Abraham, he became a patriarch. He became a father of nations. And that's what He's creating in us in this hour. He's birthing a whole generation of fathers. He's birthing a generation of people that aren't from that, they're brought out of that emotional roller coaster of up one day, down the next, defeated one moment, in victory the next, where you're just going to climb from peak to peak and from revelation to revelation, from glory to glory, where there's an ever-expanding strength that God's going to impart to you. And that's what Paul is praying for them in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. This beautiful hymn that he begins to describe the great blessings of God. He says, blessed be, in verse 3, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, for He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made abound. In fact, in the Greek, it's super abound. God super abounds towards you His grace and gives you all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all these things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. Do you see, He's bringing this down here at this part here, where everything is going to come together under His purpose and under His will. There's something about comfort knowing that in God's master plan, that everything is going to come back together the way it's supposed to be. Isn't that the nature of the Lord? The whole purpose of Christ coming to the earth was to reconcile us back to the Father. Amen. How many believe in reconciliation?
Yeah, come on.
And so if the purpose of God is to reconcile us, then we have to understand that God doesn't fall short in that promise. There's not going to be, in the long term, the enemy winning this thing. Amen. God wins. Amen. The Lord triumphs. And we're being reconciled and are reconciled unto the Father. We're already reconciled to the Father. We're just waking up to the reality of it. You know that oftentimes revelation will come before experience. And so God brings a revelation to humanity oftentimes before humanity actually experiences that revelation as reality. I don't want to just have a theory. I want to have a reality. We don't want it just a show based on theory. We want our own reality show. This is the way it is in the kingdom. This is kingdom dynasty right here. And so the Lord's saying that in the last days, in that designated day, the dispensation of the fullness of times, God's going to gather everything together in Christ. And he says, we have an inheritance, we're predestined according to the purpose of Him, who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ shall be to the praise of his glory. You know, spiritual blessings are the permanent, the perfect, and the eternal lasting promises of God fulfilled in your life. Amen. Every word that God has spoken over you, it's destined to be fulfilled.
Yeah. Come on.
So, yeah, but I don't see it. I don't see this happening. Well, let's go back to faith. Faith keeps you connected.
Yeah.
What do you got to do in this whole process? Does it all just happen to you? Does it all just become yours? It becomes yours as you stay connected.
Come on.
Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, "Father, I pray they be one just as we are one." Now, did Jesus, and we look at Jesus as our elder brother, don't we?
Yeah.
And an elder brother is an example to us. If you have siblings, you look up to your siblings to be the example, and sometimes they're the wrong example. But in a good family, a good sibling is always a good example to the younger ones.
Amen. Come on.
In fact, every part of every generation, whether it be fathers, mothers, siblings, are all examples to the others.
That's right.
And that's the same way in the church, isn't it? The pastor is an example.
Come on.
I don't have to be a great orator. I don't have to be a great expositor. I don't have to be a great revelator. See, I'm not great at any of that, even pronouncing it. All I've got to be is a great example. Because you're not looking to me to be a fountain of knowledge. You're looking at me to be an example of faith. And that's what Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. So what I can give you is more than what I can say to you. It's what I am to you. It's the same thing with the Lord. It's not what God says to us. It's what God is to us that matters most.
Amen.
We don't look and that's where people get messed up. We study the scriptures thinking that there's life within these. But the life is in the person.
Yes.
The life is in the example of Christ. It's not on splitting hairs about doctrine.
Come on.
It's not on trying to figure out who can figure out the deepest parts of the doctrine. It's how do we know this man named Jesus? That's all we need to know is him.
That's
right. So Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And him crucified.
Yeah.
And that's why he says, the Lord hid these things from the ones that are wise and noble and intelligent in their own right. And he chose to reveal them to the foolish. To the people who said, I don't need to know all that stuff. Just show me.
Come on.
The example of who you are. For just as I am, so you will be also upon the earth. It's the example of who you are. How does a parent affect their child? By their example.
Right, every time.
Amen. How does a teacher affect a student? By example. I don't remember what my teacher said, but I remember who my teachers are. Amen. If I can bond with the Lord through faith and stay connected to him, then I'll always have a sense of purpose in my life. Because my purpose is not in myself. My purpose is in who he is. You see, the reason why we get so freaked out in life and we just lose it every time something happens is because we keep looking to ourselves for our salvation and for our strength. And for our inspiration. And for our purpose. But when you're in Christ, you don't ever look into yourself. You don't judge yourself in the light that normal people judge. Because there is no judgment now. Because now you're in Christ.
Amen.
You're free from the law of sin and death. You're not bound by the conflicts of the flesh. Yeah, but don't you mess up? I don't know. Maybe by your definition I mess up. But I don't know if I mess up in his definition because I am his righteousness.
Come on.
Wow, freak me out a little bit here. If I'm connected, I'm connected.
Right.
If I'm not connected, then I'm, how do you say that word? Discombobulated? What? Discombobulated? Is that right, Eric? I don't know. You're not an English major, are you?
Yeah.
Darren? Discombobulated? How do you say it? Combobulated. Define it. Define discombobulated.
Disengaged.
That's a good, simple definition.
Yeah.
Why not just say disengaged instead of discombobulated? Okay. But when I'm connected to Christ, I'm connected to heaven. Because where am I now in Christ? I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. I can't be both places at once. I can't be seated with Him in heavenly places and sitting on an earthly throne at the same time. I'm either going to be sitting on that throne or this throne. You say, well, yeah, but you don't understand. This freaked me out. I'm freaked out. Well, you're not in heavenly places, because in heavenly places you don't get freaked out. I'm just tore up about it. You're not seated in heavenly places. You don't get tore up about things in heavenly places. You rule, you reign in heavenly places. Far above principalities and powers, when you're seated with Him. How are you seated with Him? By connecting with Him by faith. He, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So don't tell me you've got faith and you're freaking out over what's happening down here. You have no faith.
Well, don't you tell me I don't have any faith.
Proof's always in the pudding. Whatever you act like is what you are. You always manifest who you are. I mean, you can't hide it. That's why it's good to have your faith tested. Well, I don't want my faith tested. What? Why not? Let your faith be tested. If you have faith, then it won't bother you. Won't bother you to have your faith tested. You'll just rejoice in it.
Come on.
Amen. You'll rejoice in those things that come. Yeah. If you've got faith. Because they won't touch you. Jesus said it. The wicked one touches me not. Man, I'm free from the wicked one. That's why he can say, the joy that was set before me, I endured the cross. Hallelujah.
Right.
Your faith overcomes the world. The world doesn't overcome your faith.
Come on.
You either is or you isn't. You're a victor or a victim.
Right.
It's your choice by your faith. How many here are victors?
Yeah.
Come on now. Are you a victor?
Yeah.
Lift up your hand. Say, I'm a victorious
son
of God. Because I'm connected to the Son of God. You don't have identity of your own anymore. Your identity is in Him. It's and how you identify with Him that determines who you are.
Yeah.
Not how you identify with yourself. That's why you can't keep looking to yourself for your own righteousness. You can't keep looking to yourself for your own strength, your own faith. It's not even your faith that does this. It's the faith that He gives you.
Yeah.
He doles out to every one of us a measure of it. And the more you're faithful with the measure of faith, the stronger you grow in faith to where more faith is given to you. You become then that one that has mountain-moving faith. See, most Christians are struggling just to have enough faith to not to get crushed by the mountain. But once you grow in the Lord, you become the Christian that has enough faith to move the mountain.
Amen.
Amen. Strong! In the Lord and in the power of His might. I can start preaching like a Baptist in a minute. I am a Baptist.
That's right.
But I'm a lot of other things too. I'm all things to all men. Whatever suits your fancy this morning, I'll be that to you. I could wear a collar if you want me to. I don't care. If that helps your faith. See, a lot of times God will give you some crutches for a season. He'll prop you up. He'll do everything. Man, he's on your side. Because he's trying to bring to you blessings, spiritual blessings from heavenly places. I'm going to read you what I wrote here. After being seated in heaven, you can experience all the blessings of heaven. Stated, to be in Christ means to believe in God's Son so much that God becomes so elevated, so much that he begins to, you begin to be transformed to be the person to be that's just like him. Acceptable and worthy to be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. How many believe that you are accepted in the beloved?
Amen.
What happens? It goes on and talks here about adoption. What happens in adoption? It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? God gives you an entryway into his household. At one time you were strangers, foreigners. You didn't have a green card. You couldn't get in the door. But all of a sudden, you become brought in to the household of faith. You become, 1 Peter says, a chosen generation. You become a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. I mean, if we could hear a voice right now, Lord, and if you want to do this, it's fine. But a voice all of a sudden come out of heaven, what would he say to us? What do you think would be the very first thing that he would speak to us if all of a sudden we could actually hear with our natural ears his voice? What do you think he would say to you right now? You are my own special people. You are my sons and my daughters. That's what he would say. Most people are afraid to hear God speak because all they're afraid of is what God's going to tell them they're not. But all God wants to tell you is who you are. And it says he's telling you this, he's speaking this to you, he's revealing it to you so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and brought you into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now that you are a people of mercy.
Come on.
That's what he did for you when he adopted you, brought you right out of darkness, put you in the light, took you out of your beggarly clothes and your bad position and seated and put new robes of righteousness upon you. He brought you out of the miry pit. He seated you on a heavenly throne.
Amen.
And said, you are my sons.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I love you so much. Wow. He said, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. He brings you into a brand new family.
Yeah,
we are the family of God.
Yeah, we are.
Amen? We are. He brought us into a whole new order because now he's building out of this what was once chaos. He's cut out of a mountain without hands. He's cut stones that are called living stones. And he's building them together into a temple. That's you.
Yes.
Everybody say, we are the temple
of
the Lord.
The Lord.
We don't look to man's temples, men's cathedrals, men's institutions or denominations. But we see that we are the body of Christ, a holy people being built up together as a habitation of God. I fully expect and fully anticipate all the time, and I think most of you do too, your anticipator is just always out there thinking any minute this thing could explode with glory. Amen. Any minute there could be such downdraft from heaven that it would just explode this thing with glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, are you discouraged when you don't see it happen? No. Because it already has happened.
That's right.
This has not been yet manifested yet.
Yes.
Hallelujah. How can I be discouraged when I know it's already happened in heaven? Just not fully manifested upon the earth yet. I'm not discouraged by anything, except my golf game occasionally. But even then, I try to stay encouraged. And as we become adopted in our mentality and realization of who we are, we realize that God has given us an inheritance. In verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Amen. How many believe in predestination? How many believe in predestination?
Yes, I am.
Well, I'm just reading it. It says predestination right here. You don't believe the word, okay? Some people believe in it the wrong way. They believe, well, you know, some are predestined for heaven, some are predestined for hell. Thank God we made the heaven best. The people over there, they're all going to hell, but we made heaven. No, it doesn't work that way. God has predestined all of us to be conformed into His image. He chose us from the foundation of the world. He knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. There's a whole new womb now. It's called the church. And the church, out of the womb of the church, is birthing the kingdom of God and His sons and daughters. How many didn't realize when you walked in that door, you walked into a womb? You walked into a place where there's a birthing about to take place. You're not just coming to a social event or to a good little worship service, but you've actually entered into an inheritance from God. A predestination that was part of what God had in mind for you before you were born, before you were formed. He brought you into this womb because no, you were born of the flesh. You were born of blood, but now you're being born of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And a whole new creation in God. And what God burst in this hour is so radically different than what the world has ever seen that the world will not recognize it. Just as they did not recognize Jesus when He came. You thought, well, my God, the whole world ought to know who this guy is. They universally rejected Him. They accepted Him as long as He did miracles among them. But the moment He said, you've got to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. In other words, the moment He said, we've got to be bone of bone and flesh of flesh and breath of breath. We've got to be joined together. Once He said that, they all departed from Him.
Come on.
And they did not know who He was. In this hour, the same thing will happen.
Yep.
What God births in this hour is so radically different than what we've known in traditional religion, that traditional religion and the world will not recognize it as being the Christ coming forth upon the earth.
Yeah.
Just think you just don't better not get any religion in your body at all, because it's all going to be taken out of you. Your DNA is not the religious Western church. Your DNA is in Christ. We're not being formed to become a traditional doctrine-based people. We're becoming formed to become a life-giving being upon the earth. And the redemption that came through Christ, that same redemption will come in with this hour. He redeemed us, and we will become the redeemers. We will be the Christ upon the earth. They first called them Christians in Antioch because they were Christ-like. The Christos. They were Christ-like. It's That's why they call them Christians. You don't call someone a Christian because of their doctrine. You call them a Christian because of the resemblance to him. Am I a Christian? I'm a Christian because I'm like him. I smell like him. I talk like him. I act like him. I walk like him. I respond to the Father like he does. So they call me a Christian. Amen. I'm he that's been born to overcome the world. Whew. And that authority that he gives us as adopted sons and raised us up together, set together in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this one, but in also that age which is to come. In that adoption, I have an inheritance, I have a family, I have an authority, I have a purpose, I have a standard. It's different than anything I knew before. And I guess over the years, many people have called me radical. Well, I am. I'm radical. Radically committed to this life of faith that will radically change a generation. The Lord told us clear back in the 80s, the Lord told me to begin to preach the kingdom. And he said, the Lord spoke clearly to my heart. He said, if everyone leaves you, that's okay. Because one day I'll raise up a mighty army.
Come on.
I mean, the pressures, the gravitational pull of religion to compromise and to go to a different route have been great. But yet I've never once been phased to go that route. Why? Because I'm strong in the faith. Yeah. I've become a patriarch of faith. I'm not boasting when I say that. But you're not dealing with any lightweight when you're dealing with me. You've got a man that's been forged in the fire like an anvil. There's something of resolve in a man's spirit that he gets when he knows God that cannot be smitten from him. I don't usually say those kind of bold statements. Patriarch of faith. But I'm not saying it just about me. I'm saying it about you. Because God has formed and shaped something in you that's an incorruptible seed. Cannot be corrupted by this age. Wow. Do you see what the Lord's saying to you right now? You're part of something far greater than you thought. This isn't church. This is a birthing center to birth something awesome upon the earth.
Right.
It's that man-child that Revelation talks about that's being birthed.
Amen.
And it does not. This isn't being birthed by lightweights. Don't you ever underestimate the gold that God has planted in the midst of us.
Amen.
The treasure in earthen vessels that's right here.
Yes.
Don't you ever sell short nor question it. Don't you bring your petty things and expect they'll receive any attention. Because this is not a house of pettiness. It's a house of greatness.
Come on.
My. What am I saying? I'm just saying stupid stuff like Paul would. Talking about this inheritance of God.
Come on.
How we're conformed into his image. How we're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. How he said, I'm an apostle of God. And I've been forged in that apostleship by the tribulations that I've gone through.
I don't want to go through any tribulations.
You don't want to be a heavyweight then, do you? You want to be a lightweight forever. But you know what, though? The good news about going through tribulations is that you don't have to go through it. He went through it all for you. Every time a tribulation comes to me, I just got to keep connecting by faith to him. Because he went through every tribulation, every every pain. He suffered on the cross, and I just keep identifying with that man. And the more I identify with him, man, I get stronger and stronger in my faith. I just keep relating to him. So I can't ever get up and say, man, look what I did. I didn't do it. He did it all. And he's becoming it all in us. Wow. And this is the faith that overcomes the world. This is the confidence. Cast not therefore away your confidence, the Bible said. It will bring you great recompense of reward.
Amen.
Yes. Well, I don't want to be that confident. I'll sound arrogant and proud. Don't worry about that. You're not arrogant and proud if you're found in him. You're humble. But in your humility, that strength is perfected. That power is revealed out of your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So where do we go from here? We're already there. We don't have to go anywhere. We're already there. We've already made it.
Amen.
We might not know it yet, but we're there. Some of you might not realize who you are yet, but you are that person that God called you to be.
Come on.
Well, I feel so bad. Don't feel it. Accept who he is. How fast can this transition for you? Just like that. What faith does is so incredible, because faith can take the worst beat down, scallywag, mired in the pit, person that you'll ever see, and in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, when faith connects to heaven, it transforms that person into something altogether different. It's not a process. It's a connection. You don't have to crawl around through the dark hoping to find the connecting to the 110 voltage to turn the light on, hoping that you'll hit it one day. No, the Lord will take you right to the place of connection. He said, now connect. It's yours. And even before you call, even before you ask, I reveal it to you, saith the Lord. It's yours. Receive it. Hello, fellow Abrahamites. Hello, those that have a promise of being fathers of many nations.
Amen.
Hello. Those mighty men and women of God, where the wicked one touches you not. Hello, you people that don't ride emotional roller coasters any longer, but now you are consistent in your relationship to God because you know it's not you, it's him in you. Hello. Don't let Hollywood define who you are. Let him define you. And I like that saying that's found in the Mirror Bible. Christ saw you in your perfection before he knew you in your fall as a son of Adam. Before you were, he was. And you is that you is because of who he is. That goes right along with you can't lose the stuff I use. I'm about through. I've already violated 15 different principles this morning by going too long. But I don't know. You feel something in the spirit releasing today? I mean, some of you are going to walk out of here. You're going to kill some giants on your way out. Well, not in here, but I mean outside in the parking lot. I don't want you killing any of them in here. There ain't no giants in here anyway, is there? Psalms 139. Oh, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there also. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there I'll find your hand leading me, and your right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness has fallen upon me, Even the night shall become light about me. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes when we think, man, this is getting so dark and messed up, then all of a sudden you realize the light's still there. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you have formed my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. And that's where I wrote, the church is the womb of the kingdom. And I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. We just give up and give in to the one who says there is no darkness, there's only light. There is no fear for you. Wow. Man, I love this stuff.